Psalm 65. Before we read, let's ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the time, the privilege once again to delve into your word. And we thank you, Father, because this is light. Father, you shine on us. You show us the way. You keep us from untold danger and evil. And Lord God, we often forget about the fact that your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. We forget that, Father, and we are so unaware of all of the misery we've been spared simply because you have kept us in your word. And so, Lord, for a moment tonight, we just stop and we acknowledge and thank you for your word. What a blessing it is, Father. What a blessing it is to be able to open this word and not curse you, but to open it, Father, and join the psalmist and say, how I love your law. And Father, open your word, your law tonight, that we might see wondrous things within it. And Father, we also pray while we think of it for our nation. We think of the millions who will travel to polls all over the country to vote. We pray, Father, that you will be more merciful to us than we deserve. And Father, it's difficult to pray for a party like the Conservatives because we know, Lord, that there's so much that's so wrong still. But we pray for them anyways. And we ask, God, that you would be gracious tomorrow. Be gracious to our country in the future. Again, we ask that you raise up a man of God. One who loves you dearly. Loves your people. And so, Father, hear us tonight as we pray for that. And bless and open your word now to our hearts and minds, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 65. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the end of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You will still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. In verse 9, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges as abundantly, and you settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. What a happy psalm. What a beautiful psalm. Well, this evening we're looking at Psalm 65. We're continuing our study on the theme of being free to worship God. And if you remember, and maybe it would be a benefit just for a minute or two to go back and review where we've been. What are those things, what are those elements, those realities that enable us to be free in our worship? And at the beginning, we took a look at verses 1 and 2 and 3. We saw there that even though our sins are great, that God has provided atonement. He's covered our sins. And how that has such a freeing nature to it when it comes to the worship of God. To know that, yes, we've sinned, but our sins are forgiven. What an incredible freeing thing that is, or should be, for us. And then we saw that even though our sins are great, that God has shown His favor upon us. How has He done that? But by choosing us to dwell in His house, that is to worship Him, and He causes us to worship Him as well. And these are all things that God does for us in ways that He frees us in our worship. Well, tonight we're going to move on and take a look at another thing that God does and how He frees us up to worship His holy and awesome name. This evening we're going to take a look in verses 5 and really just focus there, where we read this: "By awesome deeds and righteousness You will answer us, O God of our salvation." This past week I was looking at the history of Canada in the Netherlands during the Second World War, and I had an idea that Canada played a significant part in the liberation of Holland, but I had no idea really just to what extent. And as I was reading, I came to see that, you know, Canada actually had a huge part in the liberation of the Netherlands. And it was really the Canadians that were the forerunners and the front runners and drove out the Germans out of many towns. In fact, if you go to a town, maybe my Dutch friends will correct my pronunciation of it this evening, but there's a place called Apeldoorn. Is that right? Is that okay, Apeldoorn. And there's a monument that's been erected to Canadians because of their liberation efforts on behalf of the Dutch. Every year, you know as well as I do, that we have a shipload of tulips that comes over from Holland just to say thanks for the place that we had in the liberation of their country. And, you know, the bottom line is they're thankful, right? They're a grateful people. And the reason I mention that tonight is because, you know, when it comes to the worship of God, it seems to me that that should be our response. If we have been delivered from a foe, the right response is to worship God, to praise Him. And that's what's happening here. Either it's happening right then, or it's a future event. But anyways, the psalmist sees it, it's happening, or it's going to happen. And he says, by awesome deeds and righteousness, He will answer us. So the foe's there, the foe's harassing. But the psalmist sees God's mighty deeds, His awesome deeds. And some of your translations say His terrible deeds. That doesn't mean that they're bad. They're just full of terror. I mean, what God is doing here to the enemies is so great, so awesome, that you just put your hand over your mouth. It's astonishing what God's doing for His people by routing the foes. And that's what God does. He will rout our foes, friends. You got to understand and believe that tonight, that God is a God who routs our foes. And that should be freeing us up to worship Him. I believe that. Do you believe it? That the routing of our enemies is God's way of freeing us up to worship Him. And we'll explore that a little bit more this evening. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at how He does that, how He displays His awesome deeds. Because that's what we're looking at here in verse 5. We see He does it in two ways. One is this: He displays His awesome deeds in response to our prayers. He does it in response to our prayers. You know, I think it's safe to say that sometimes we ask this question: what's the point of prayer? Do you ever ask that? Why pray? I mean, God's going to do what He's going to do, and it doesn't always seem to make a big difference in my life anyway. So, you know, why even bother praying? What's the point in praying? Well, there's a big point in praying, and that's what I want to explore with you. That's what the psalmist gets into here. Because he says, by awesome deeds and righteousness, You will answer us, O God of our salvation. Now get this, and this is exciting. And this will free us up, I believe, to worship God. God will hear us when we pray and ask us to Him to deliver us from our enemies. God will do that. But you want to know why God delights to do that, friends? It's not just so that, you know, He'll delight in our freedom, but it's so that He will delight in the worship we bring to Him as we experience the deliverance that He brings us as He routs our foes. Did you get the logic in that? What I'm saying, and what I think the psalmist is saying, is this: by us in deeds and righteousness, you will answer us. When we got the foe on our back, when the foe's pressing in, we know this: you will hear us when we pray, "Oh God, deliver us from our foes, from the enemy." And when we see you doing that, then we will worship you. Then we will rejoice. I mean, can you see this happening in his day? Can you just picture the psalmist saying, "Wow, you know, thank you so much for doing this. This is great. What I'm seeing at your hand is fantastic. And I worship you and I praise you as the awesome God." See, that's what God's doing here. He's listening to the prayers of his people, and he's routing the enemy by their prayers. Why? To free God's people up to worship his great and awesome name as they see him doing these great and awesome deeds. That's the logic. Psalm 50, verse 15. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. It's one verse. I'm going to read it, because here is the logic right here. Again, it says this: "Call upon me in the day of trouble." Okay, that's prayer. That's you praying when the enemy's, you know, on your back and closing in and harassing you. "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will do what? I will deliver you." Okay, that's what God will do. Now, here's why. Now, here's where the whole idea of being free to worship God comes in. Okay? "And you will glorify me." Should I go over the logic there again? Call upon me in the day of trouble. That's you praying. "And I will deliver you." That's God's great and awesome deeds. And what's the result? You will glorify me. Do you see why God delights to deliver you from your foes? You see what it's all about? Where's it all going? Him. Worship. That's right. So that when we do see God breaking the back of our foe, and we see ourselves being delivered and freed from the enemy, we're like, yeah! And we're putting our hand over our mouth, and we're saying, "Wow, God, you are awesome, and you are great." And that leads me to this question tonight. How many tonight have a foe that's nipping at your heels? And let's be really specific. How many of you have a particular sin you're struggling with? Okay, you're not nodding your heads, but I bet you most of you have at least one that you really struggle with, that every day you wake up and you're going, "Oh God, help me," and it's like, boom, you're down. And that just seems to be the pattern. And you're smiling, I can tell that this is a struggle. Some of you are trying not to smile. It's the problem that we face, isn't it? Maybe what we need to do is, we also, in addition to thinking, "God, please deliver me from this foe," say, "God, your worship is at stake in my life. And I want to see this done. I want to see this enemy destroyed, because I want to be able to stand there on the Lord's Day morning or wherever you are. And when I sing in the Psalms about your salvation, I want that to trigger in my memory what you've been doing in my life and the victory I've seen, and say, yes, and worship you." So what are you struggling with? What are the problems? What are those areas where you need to grow? You know the ones I'm talking about? They are but a prayer away, your deliverance. They're a prayer away. And God will deliver you. Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that if you call on God for deliverance from that sin, that He will deliver you? Yeah, I mean, God says He will. And He can't lie. Isn't Titus chapter 1, verse 2 say that? God cannot lie. If God says, "Call upon me and I will deliver you," that must mean that when you call on Him, He will deliver you. Right? And it can't be otherwise. And when God delivers you, you lift up your hands and say, God, I worship you. Thank you. Because that thing has been just a monkey on my back. It's been draining me and dragging me and getting me down and clipping my wings, and I just haven't felt free to really just give you everything in worship. You want a great illustration of that? Great story. Kids, you'll love this story. It's from the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a story about, guess who? Guess who? No. Story of David and this really big, ugly guy with bad breath named Goliath. And Goliath was just the most irritating guy on the face of the earth. He was massive. And every day he'd walk out and he would taunt the armies of Israel. And Israel was just like, they were scared of him. We'll put it that way. And David was like, you know what? I can no longer stand this guy taunting the living God. And he went down with a sling, you know the story, and got a stone. Put that stone, that sling, and rolled around, and he just buried that in his cranium. And he dropped to the ground. He took Goliath's sword, and he chopped off Goliath's head, and he held it up. And when the Philistines saw that, they ran away. And guess what Israel did? They shouted. That's right. It was a worship service for like 5 seconds, and then they took after them to destroy them. But they shouted. Absolutely. Remember when Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry land, he and Israel, and then the Egyptians tried that, but it didn't work. And the next day, all their bodies washed up on the shore. And we're told in Exodus chapter 15 that Moses sang a song like this. They worshiped. Right? I mean, that's what you do when you see the enemy routed. You worship him. And God, by awesome deeds in righteousness, will answer us. He will answer us. And we'll worship him. There's another way, though, that we see God displaying his mighty deeds to free us up to worship him in this verse. It's this, not only in response to our prayers, but done in what? In righteousness. In righteousness. Look down in your Bibles again. It says this, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us. You know what that means? It means that when God displays his great and awesome deeds, those deeds that you put your hand over your mouth, when you see them, when you see the foe being vanquished and destroyed, you know what? God's going to do it, and it'll be perfect and holy, and it'll be righteous. Like the Red Sea. That was an awesome deed done in righteousness. That was Egypt defying the living God, and God saying, I'm going to deal with you. And God dealing with them. And dealing with them in justice and in righteousness and holiness. And they died. And that's what the people of God saw on that day. We're praying to you, deliver us. And God delivered them. And friends, you've got to believe that for the enemies of God, it was terrible. Because when God displays his awesome deeds in righteousness, look at it. Look at it. If God ever gets halfway and says, you know what, I think I'm going to give the foes a break. God doesn't get halfway and say, well, you know, I'm not going to be so hard on your foes. I mean, they've got problems too. Am I merciful? No, when God responds in righteousness, he deals in righteousness. And friends, for the enemies of God, it is terrible. Terrible. But we got to pray this way. God, would you respond in righteousness? Because I want you to kill my enemies. I want you to annihilate them. I want you to extirpate them from the face of the earth. I want them gone. You know, that's the way we should be thinking about our enemies. That sin that we just talked about a minute or two ago, That's how we should be praying, that God would display His mighty deeds in righteousness. You know, where God shows up and that is the end of your foe. Do you want that? I think in our good moments we want that. We say, you know, God, I want to leave my sin. I want to live for your glory. I just want to be used by you. And then the temptation comes from like, you know what? I think I like my sin way too much. You pray, God, display your awesome deeds and righteousness. You are asking God to strike the death blow to your sin. You understand that, don't you? And it won't be pretty. And it won't be nice. It'll be bloody. And there will be carnage on the battlefield. And the foe will go down and he will die. And your flesh will scream bloody murder. You've got to believe it. It's not going to be easy. But I'll tell you this. That when you ask God to display Himself, those awesome deeds done in righteousness, and God answers that prayer and He comes through and He destroys your foes in righteousness and frees you, you'll worship Him. You see, what God wants is this. He wants us to solicit Him for His help, that He might elicit from us His praise. Solicit, elicit. God, answer me. God, save me from my foes. Do that in righteousness. Do it, O God, that I might be free to worship you as the enemy lies behind me dead, ravaged, destroyed. And as I put my hands over my mouth, witnessing the display of your awesome deeds, I will go to your house. I will worship you. I will praise you. And I will be wonderstruck by the awesomeness of those awesome deeds. May God hear us, friends, the day we call and grant us His salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray this evening that we will know the display of those awesome deeds here. God, do that, we pray. Demolish our sin. Rout the foe. Make us into passionate, intense, hungering worshipers. Do that, we pray, O God. Do it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.